Well, we have finished our Advent series. Last Sunday was a special New Year's service, and now we are going back to our Gospel of Mark, as we had started that last fall. It's a series that keeps asking the question, who is this man? Through looking at the life of Jesus and the Gospel of Mark, I hope that our faith will grow. Too often, I think our view of Jesus shrinks over time. Sometimes we see him at work and in action, and we are very well aware of his power and strength. And then sometimes time passes, and our problems begin to grow, our stresses begin to increase, and people and situations get so big. And what happens to Jesus? Our view of him gets a little smaller. And so I hope that as we go back to these stories in the Gospel of Mark, that we'll remember and recall and live knowing that we have a big Savior in Jesus Christ. So let us be amazed at Jesus' power. Before we read God's word, let's pray. Oh Lord, you are speaking, and you're speaking through your word that was recorded thousands of years ago, but is true and living and active and molding us. So open our ears. May we hear your voice. Allow us to live in accordance with your word. And may we have a big view of you. In Jesus' name, amen. So this is Mark 4, 35 through 41. On that day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. The other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with a great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So I used this pillow in the children's illustration, this children's sermon, but it actually has a message I wanted to share with everybody on it. The message on this pillow, if you don't remember anything else from the sermon, this is a good line to remember. It says, "The battle is not yours, it's the Lord's." And then it says, "Now get some sleep." That verse comes from 2 Chronicles 20:15. Jesus had his head on a pillow, and that was showing his faith in God. The disciples were fighting as if this storm was their battle, that it was up to them to get their boat across. So my outline is going to be simply, we're going to look at the storm, we're going to look at the question, does Jesus even care? And then, who is this? So first, the storm. Our passage began with those words, "on that day." All right. It's been months since we've been in Mark 4, so probably no one remembers what happened on that day. So let me review. That day had begun with the religious leaders accusing Jesus of being in cahoots with Beelzebub, that it was by the prince of demons that he was casting out demons. This is, Jesus had to defend himself from this ridiculous accusation he had to share with them that it wasn't he wasn't in cahoots with the devil. He was the light. He was the one who was coming to reveal and to eliminate the darkness. And then, right after that happened, his family had come down from Nazareth and thought he was out of his mind, so he didn't have family support. They were intending to kidnap him and take him back to Nazareth to save him from himself because they could see how his actions were going to get him in trouble. So that happened that day. And then it says he went out and he taught the multitudes. The crowds were gathered around And he sat in a boat and pushed off a little bit from shore and began speaking to them in parables. And he taught them many parables that day under the hot Judean sun. You can think about how physically and emotionally exhausted Jesus was. And so at the close of the day, he says to disciples, let's sail across the lake. It's 5 miles across, and I think they were all looking forward to a quiet voyage. It had been a whirlwind of a day, and now a nice relaxing boat ride across the Sea of Galilee. Yeah, that sounds good. And Jesus falls asleep. Only time in the Gospel of Mark we see Jesus sleeping, by the way. You can relate to days like this, though. Long days, giving your all when you just need a space to relax, to come down from the tiredness. And so the boat is far from shore when suddenly a great windstorm comes upon it. Let's see if this is working. Ah, there we go. There's Rembrandt's picture of this scene. And, suddenly everything went from calm to trying to save their lives. You know, the wind is blowing so hard, and you know this in your own life too. Sometimes there's times when that wind is howling down upon you and everything's turbulent. Everything is being shaken back and forth and you're not sure if you're going to get through or how you're going to get through. Everything looks really scary in those moments. When we're in the storms of life, whether they're physical, emotional, vocational, relational, you know, whatever those storms are, they feel pretty dark, like this picture, don't they? The sea is threatening to overwhelm us. The darkness is all around us, and we can't see the light or when things are going to get better. We feel like it's just too much, and we panic. We get angry, we complain, and we speak like the disciples were speaking in our passage. Jesus, God, are you sleeping through this? Do you see? Do you care what I'm going through? So that brings me to my second point. Does Jesus even care? While Jesus' sleeping is interpreted as being uncaring by the disciples fighting for their lives, it is not. He is confident, he is secure, and he can sleep amidst the streaking winds and jostling waves. Isn't that powerful faith? He's not fake sleeping. He's at peace. He's resting in God's care. He knows that he will get to the other side. And he's not concerned about the raging water and winds around him. The scene with the sailors frantically trying to save their ship and keep it afloat and escape the possibility of a watery grave while the prophet sleeps, that may have reminded the disciples of another Old Testament story that was very similar to that, the story of Jonah. There, the storm comes upon Jonah and his ship while he sleeps, and the sailors are throwing everything overboard, trying to rescue themselves from shipwreck, and Jonah's sleeping. But that storm had come because the prophet disobeyed God. Jonah says, I'm the reason that this storm has come. I'm running away. The disciples aren't running away. They aren't disobeying. They've obeyed everything Jesus has said to do. So why are they in this predicament? It makes no sense. Perhaps you know that confusion as well. You know, why do bad things happen to good people? Why, when I'm trying to do the right thing, is all the headwind against me? Why does it feel like I'm not making any progress? Why is it that there's trials and tribulations that seem to overwhelm and swamp me when I'm just obeying? I'm just trying to do the right thing. So in their confusion, they wake up the teacher, pleading for Jesus to be awake. And I was wondering about that. What do they want Jesus to do? Do they want him to pick up a pail and start bailing out the water? Do they want him just to see and to know what they're going through? After all, he's the one that sent them on this voyage, and they want to be seen. They want to say, look at our situation. Do they expect him to pray? Perhaps all of that? Perhaps they had no idea what they wanted. No, they're in a panic, and they just want to wake Jesus up. But the Jesus who slept through the storm is now awakened by their voice calling for them. And he is in complete control. And he does something they don't expect. He speaks to the wind. He speaks to the waves. Do you know anybody who speaks to the wind, speaks to the waves? If you do, you probably think they're a little out of their mind, right? But that's what Jesus does. And he commands them, peace be still. and immediately everything is still. It's calm. What Jesus had been experiencing internally while he slept, that peace and the calm of God, is now he speaks it into the elements of the creation, and as creator, it obeys. And it becomes just as peaceful and calm as can be. I suspect that this option of Jesus speaking to the wind and the wave hadn't crossed the disciples' mind. After all, we usually say, well, we can't change the weather. Nothing we can do about it. We'll just have to deal with it. You know, we can't change the diagnosis. We'll just have to make a best out of a bad thing. And so we react and try as hard as we can, but we don't think we can change the situation because it's impossible to change the situation. And we forget the Creator is with us. Only God can control the weather. And Jesus, as God, controls the weather. And he controls everything in our lives too. The battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. So we can get some sleep. So that brings me to my third point. Who is this man? Jesus speaks and immediately the wind stops and there's a great calm. Jesus then gives a rebuke to the wind and the waves, right? Calm down. And they obey. And then he gives a rebuke to the disciples. Did you see that? He says, why are you so afraid? Have you been with me all this time and don't realize who I am? And do you still have no faith? Well, I thought about that too. Wait a minute, Jesus. Isn't fear a generally accepted emotion to have when you're about to die? When you're in a storm and everything's crashing down and the boat's about to go under for the last time? Isn't fear kind of what you might expect? Can we give the disciples a little slack here? Rather than saying, where is your faith? Do you not have any faith at all? But I dug a little deeper, and the word for fear here, why are you so afraid, isn't the word phobio, from which we get phobia, you know, the fear of different fears that we have in life, but it's a word that means cowardly, timid, or fearful. So why are they cowardly in the face of the storm? Why in the face of the wind and the waves do they shrink back as if it's going to have the upper hand, as if they can do nothing about it? And that is what Jesus is calling out on them. Why are you timid? Why are you cowardly? Do you not know who's with you? The storm could not stop Jesus' plans. Jesus had said, we're going to cross to the other side. And they believed that the storm could change Jesus' plans. Jesus promised something. They were going to get to the other side because Jesus had said they were going to get there. And they had forgotten that Jesus is the Son of God. All things are under his command. But it got me wondering. I wonder if sometimes we can be that way. We can be timid and cowardly because our view of Jesus is too small. You know, he's a historical figure. We know him from the history books. We know him from the Bible. He's able to act in one way. We did see him, you know, heal somebody. So we say, okay, he can do that. But we don't really think he can change our situation, change the sin that we got ourselves trapped into. We don't really think that he can change that other person that has been so hard to live with. And so we make little boundaries of, okay, God can do that, but he can't do this. And he can't save me from the storm I'm in. And what are we doing? We're making Jesus small, saying he can't do anything. But Jesus is the sovereign over all things. He is sovereign over all. Do you hear Jesus say to us this morning, why are you so afraid, timid, cowardly? Do you still have no faith? Here's a definition I like to use for faith. It's an unswerving trust in Jesus' power to save, totally and completely. Friends, Jesus is with us, and whatever we face, physically, emotionally, vocationally, relationally, you know, whatever we face, he is greater still. And if he is with us, who can be against us? Well, I know that you are people of faith, but I know that I want my faith to increase. That word unswervingly is a big word, isn't it? We have faith, we have trust in Jesus, but is it that unswerving? Because boy, it feels like my faith swerves sometimes. It seems like it's on track sometimes and then it's off track and need to bring it back. And I think the stories like this and trials and storms that we go through have a purpose of increasing our faith, have a way of reminding us just how big God is and that He is in total control of everything. Our bodies, our minds, our wills, our relationships, the world, the wind, the waves, they obey His command. The disciples responded with great fear for who He was, that even the wind and the sea obey Him. Perhaps we today, at the start of a new year, need to remember how powerful Jesus is today. He is today reigning on high. He is today living in His church, His temple. He today holds all authority in heaven and on earth, and He is with us. And if He is with us, nothing, not the gates of hell, can stop Him and His church from prevailing. In this world, we have a lot of people wringing their hands, worried about this, worried about that, timid, cowardly. Friends, the gospel is alive. Jesus is alive. He's living here, and nothing will prevent Him from accomplishing His will. May we be a church that no matter how menacing the circumstances, no menacing how the future holds, we are confident in our Savior. We have a great boldness as a church, as His people, because He is with us. Well, you still may be wondering, why did Jesus allow the storm if He could have stopped it before it even came? Why can't we just have smooth sailing in life? Why can't that water always be calm? And I want to share a quote that R. Kent Hughes said about this, recognizing that there's a lot of fears that we all face daily, some ambiguous, some we can't really name, we just kind of feel this anxiety within us, and some we're very well aware of what we're fearful of. And this is what he says. He says, what should you do? Understand and believe that it is through storms, afflictions, hardships, and challenges that you grow. Without them, you would be captive to the terrible tyranny of self. Understand that Christ wants to develop you through the storms ahead. Know that He is completely capable of delivering you with a word. He is the same Christ who calmed the storm, the same God who stayed the figure of the trigger finger of Ira Sankey's executioner. Friends, the disciples learned that because they went through this storm, that they can count it all joy when they face various trials and afflictions of many kinds, because their faith was tested. And as their faith was tested, it grew. It brought about perseverance and maturity and completeness. In the storm, they learned a peace because Jesus is with them and He is sovereign over all. What storms are you facing? Is your faith being tested? What storms might come upon us as a church this year? We might be anxious about that. Friends, let God's word make us bold. He is with us and He keeps His promises. He is more powerful than any threat that can surround us. May we be His church and not fear the storm, but have unswerving faith and trust in Jesus, the all-powerful one with us. As we come to communion, I want us to kind of search our hearts a little bit, and maybe even around that theme of fears, of cowardliness, of timidity. You know, what have we allowed to control our lives and get so big that we think that Jesus can't handle it? That where we are asking, God, where are you? Don't you know what I'm going through? Don't you care? And what would it look like to have a bold faith in Jesus, in His promises, in His power? Friends, Jesus is present in this meal. He is present here now in this church. And His power to save is made present to our eyes of faith as we see elements of His broken body and His blood poured out for the remission of sin. This is a family meal. It is for those who have put their trust in Jesus Christ, who say, I cannot save myself. I am drowning in this boat, but Lord, you can save. That is who it's for. And the invitation is for all of us. You might have a strong faith today. You might be having that unswerving trust and confidence in God. Come, come and be fed. Your faith today might be pretty small. It might be just holding on. But friends, if it's in Jesus, we invite you to come. Come and let your faith be fed as once again we look upon these emblems and know that his power to save is made available for us to come and be made whole and complete. So come, find forgiveness in this meal. Come, find healing in the name of Jesus. Come, find the love that you long for here in Jesus Christ. Come, find peace and joy in Jesus' covenant that he made with you through his broken body and his spilled blood, that our lives are now hidden in his resurrection body and his eternal life. Perhaps, though, today you're here and that faith isn't your experience. You don't have any trust in Jesus. You're trusting in yourself, you're trusting in your works, you're trusting in something else, and hoping it's enough. Friends, let me hold out an invitation to you. Jesus loves you, and he invites you. Come. Come and find rest. Find peace in the midst of the storm. Find a Savior, someone who has laid down his life so that you may live, and just receive the free gift. Won't you do that today and allow the power of God to transform you from the inside out? Let us look to God in prayer. Oh Lord, as we gather, we look to you in faith and ask you that your grace would minister to us in our hearts and our brokenness. Lord, some questions have been asked today that maybe we had a quick answer to, of what we're afraid of and what we're allowing to be the tyranny of ourselves that we're serving. Fears that are driving us, maybe spoken, maybe not. But maybe that's a question we're going to take with us this week. And I pray that you would continue to search our hearts and allow us to be revealed to us if we're afraid of something because we have a small view of you. So Lord, continue to shape and guide us. And as we're praying, I pray that, I ask that you'd all look at the screen because we have a prayer confession that'll like us to pray together, and it comes from Psalm 51. So would you join me in praying this? Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you alone, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquity. Amen.